The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went home, and the crowd came together again, so that Jesus and the disciples could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He's gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul. He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." And Jesus called them to him and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a dominion is divided against itself, that dominion cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against Satan and is divided, Satan cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, for they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.'" Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to Jesus and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to Jesus, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And Jesus replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Can you hear me? Okay. Scene, Worcester, Mass., June 2024. New England Synod Assembly gathering. UniLU members clustered around the Boston Metro table. Coffee within arm's reach. And it's time to vote. Following procedure, we sing a song, we pray, and then in unison, we check our phones to see if the email with the appropriate ballot has arrived. And then we wait, and wait, and wait, as approximately 450 people try to remember how to access their email on their phones. And try to remember their passwords to their emails. And we wait in hope for the Spirit of the living God to move through the mystery of the internet and allow the election of a new bishop to actually occur. Sometimes this required another song, and another prayer, and another song, and another prayer. This exact scene played out more times than I can count, or that I want to remember over the last 3 days of the New England Synod Assembly. Your appointed voting members, Jonathan Erickson and Grace Hoagland, and UniLU affiliated ordained clergy, Gracious Moyo, Imogene Stulkin, Jessica Chica, Elisa Nelson Winger, Andrew Heisen, Christian Kohler, and yours truly, were gathered there in attendance to elect a new bishop, to pass the year's budget, and to hear reports from partner organizations. And it was overall a productive event because in the end we did manage to elect a new bishop. Many congratulations to our new bishop-elect, the Reverend Nathan Pipo, who currently serves as pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church in Worcester. Thanks be to God, amen? Amen. But as you just heard, this gathering also was a spiritual exercise, a test of patience and perseverance, as again and again we would sing and pray and wait and eventually vote. Now, at some point in this seemingly never-ending singing, praying, waiting, voting loop, I recalled that the second reading for this Sunday is from 2 Corinthians, and that it included the phrase, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer nature is wasting away, Our inner nature is being renewed day by day, for this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen, even emails. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Amen? We did not lose heart. We did not lose heart in spite of the many momentary technological afflictions we endured during Synod Assembly. But of course, the Apostle Paul wasn't talking about faulty email servers or badly designed and badly chosen voting software when he wrote this letter to the Christian community in Corinth. Paul was writing this letter of encouragement to a people whose outer nature, their actual bodies, life and limb were in danger. He was writing to the early church at a time when simply choosing to be a Jesus follower put one at risk of persecution and even death. Being the church at that time meant drama, often even from inside the community of believers. And we can imagine that the early church, the members of that community, were saying to themselves, is this even worth it? Why are we doing this? And to them, Paul writes, we do not lose heart. We do not lose heart. Voting complications aside, there were perhaps reasons to feel faint of heart at Synod Assembly this year. Our outgoing bishop, James Hazelwood, reported some grim statistics. Many churches are closing or at risk of closing. We have a serious clergy shortage to fill the churches that are still in operation. And at the same time, there are 50% fewer seminarians studying to become pastors, 50% fewer than in 2005. Bishop Hazelwood reported that congregations in New England look very much like churches across the rest of the country. A handful of young families, lots of retirees, and no one in the middle. And this is a trend that was already existing, but dramatically increased during the COVID years. We can see that loss of a generation of believers, of young people and families, in the registrations for the upcoming ELCA youth gathering, which is currently welcoming half as many young people as it did the last time it met. As I said, these are pretty grim statistics. And we heard them just as we were about to elect a new bishop. And I was thinking, who wants that job right now? It's a little bit nuts to take that job, to be honest. And yet there we were, more than 500 Lutheran Christians from this region giving of our time and attention to be the church and to ensure that there is a church that exists for years to come. And there they were, 11 ordained pastors who said yes to the movement of the Holy Spirit, open to answering the call if elected bishop of the New England Synod of the ELCA. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. We do not lose heart because God is doing a new thing, always doing new things. Friends, when I was in seminary, one of my preaching professors said that you should never tell an anecdote in a sermon which causes the congregation to imagine the pastor in the bathroom. And I'm going to break that rule today. Again. The other day I was washing my face and I noticed that one long black nose hair had decided to grow out of the hole where my nose ring resides. And I thought, no one warned me about this. This was not in the fine print. No one tells you when you are young and cute and getting your nose pierced that someday this will be fertile ground for hairs to sprout and grow, though we know not how. And in that moment, I felt the weight of my outer nature which is, of course, changing with every passing year. All of us humans must contend with our outer nature, our beloved bodies, our God-shaped bodies, which are changing and shifting and growing, and yes, will all of them, all of us, eventually pass from this earthly realm, though we know not when. No one warned me about nose hairs that grow alongside nose rings. And also, no one warned or told the faithful few who built this building at 66 Winthrop Street, that one day the fellowship hall would be a dance studio, or that the Sunday school rooms would someday welcome a family seeking citizenship, or that the entire lower level would be home to folks who needed a place to lay their heads for 40 years. No one warned those faithful few about what might happen next. It wasn't in the fine print, except that it was. It was in print. It was written, and it was spoken, and it has been preached for thousands of years now. It has been lived by generation after generation. The Word of God crucified and risen, the God who is always doing new things and sprouting new things in unexpected places. And so we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Friends, the outer nature of the church, the earthly tent that we love, is changing. And some might even say on a bad day that we are wasting away. But this is not about cheerfulness. Not losing heart is not about being cheerful. It's not about optimism. It's not about what new program is going to save the church as it was. We do not lose heart. Notice, though, that in this scripture text, it says, so we do not lose heart. So what? Because what? Why do we not lose heart? We do not lose heart because Christ is raised. We do not lose heart because we know that the one who raised Christ from the dead also raises us to new things, to new life. We do not lose heart because we have seen and we have heard that death is not the end of the story. We do not lose heart because we know that there are seeds that are growing and we cannot see the growth. We don't know what is happening with the seeds that are being planted. We do not lose heart because while God indeed has work for us to do, our hope is not in our work, it is in God's work. Now, one of the preachers this weekend was Bishop Guy Irwin. Some of you know Bishop Guy Irwin. He was baptized right here in this space. And in one of the breaks, he spoke to me about how important Unilu was to him. Bishop Guy was the first openly gay partnered bishop in the ELCA. He was also the first indigenous Native American bishop in the ELCA. And he said, you know what, that day when I was baptized, you know who was standing next to me? On one side was Bishop Elizabeth Eaton, now currently our presiding bishop of the ELCA, and on the other side, Bishop Jessica Christ, who was one of the first female bishops in the ELCA. And he said, none of us knew where this moment was going to take us. All of them at the waters here in this space. And so we do not lose heart. We have 4 young people in candidacy to become pastors from this congregation. And so we do not lose heart. Can you say that with me? So we do not lose heart. Oh, yeah. Come on. So we do not lose heart. So we do not lose heart. Our voting delegates from Unilu, Grace and Jonathan, represent both younger generations and, Jonathan, brand new members. a brand new member of the ELCA, so we do not lose heart. So we do not lose heart. Robin Lutjehan and his congregation, who lost their entire building in a fire last year, were there at Synod Assembly and talking about their plans and what we can do together. They are thriving and expanding today because of the ecumenical partners they have in the neighborhood. And so we do not lose heart. So we do not lose heart. I don't think that those people who built this building, which, by the way, you may remember, was voted the most beautiful building in 10 years in Boston in 1951. It's beautiful. It's beautiful because of the people. I don't know about the rest of it, but anyway. I don't know that they thought that this would be a haven for the LGBTQ community. That's not something that they were thinking of when they built this building. And yet, we do not lose heart. And so, we do not lose heart. Amen?
Amen.
Robin and his community can speak very clearly to what Paul wrote when he said, "For we know that if the earthly tent we have is destroyed, if the earthly tent we have is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Though our earthly tent is destroyed, we have a building, we have a home, we have a house, we have a place to be, not made with hands, but eternal. And you, dear ones, have a home, not only in this building, but with God. You have a home in the bodies that God gifted you, beloved bodies, God-shaped bodies, and you have a home beyond these bodies, beyond this time, beyond this particular iteration of the church that we have today. And we do not lose heart because we know that the God of heaven and earth, the God who raised Jesus from the dead, also carries our hearts, carries us, and will carry us into the next stage of our own lives, the next stage of our faith, and indeed, into the next stage of the church. Thanks be to God. Amen.